شهر الطاعة والإيمان، شهر الرحمة والغفران، شهر الطاعة والإيمان، شهر الرحمة والغفران.
أيامك خير الأيام
يا رمضان،
يا شهر صيام وقيام
يا رمضان.
أيامك خير الأيام
يا رمضان،
يا شهر صيام وقيام
يا رمضان.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. سلام عليكم ورحمة الله. In the previous session we discussed Allama Majlis's account of seven groups of fasters. And he very, in short terms, he did refer to, albeit little, to the concept of intentions when one fasts. In this session and in succeeding sessions, the term niyya, intention, or riya, ostentation, or ikhlas, which is a kind of dedication of one's actions for Allah out of sincerity, all these terms have degrees associated with them. There isn't just one type of intention. There's not one type of ostentation, riya, doing things for other than Allah in one's ibadat, such as fasting. There's not only one type of being sincere and dedicating one's actions to Allah. In all of these, there exists an array of different levels and degrees. But when I say different levels and degrees of intention, this doesn't mean when you want to fast, you have to think about all these things. No. That which is required from you is intentions in jurisprudence. They are subliminal in nature, meaning that if someone was to tell you, what are you doing? Let's say you're executing the ablution, the minor ablution, the wudu, and then you didn't verbally, verbally give an account of what you're doing. You didn't verbally describe or disclose your intention. It wasn't, your intention wasn't verbalized. And then you were doing the wudu. Does that mean you didn't commit yourself to the intention, which is wajib and obligatory when you do the wudu? The answer is no. Why? Because you don't have to verbalize your intentions. You don't even have to conceptualize your intentions in your mind. Why? Because intentions are subliminal in nature. What does that mean? When I'm doing the wudu, if someone says to me, what are you doing? I would tell them, I am doing the wudu. And that much will suffice. Here, these discussions, when we now want to dissect the concept of intentions, when we want to open up, excavate the inner dimensions of what riya is, what ikhlas is, here, these are now spiritual layers. If we manage to incorporate them within ourselves, that will suffice, even in relation to having spiritual intentions, without you having to verbalize or conceptualize anything. The fact that it's incorporated and you know what you're doing, that's important. So the reason I say that, because I don't want people to then enter this realm of obsession and waswas, that their intentions are not correct, and therefore their wudu, their fasting, their salat isn't correct, and they keep on redoing it. No, none of this applies here. But we'll go into more detail, and I'll give you the fiqhi criteria mentioned by great scholars in jurisprudence, in relation to how to determine if you have carried out a correct fasting intention-wise, They've gone into some detail. But at the end of the day, it's something subliminal in nature. You have to know what you're doing, why you're doing it. Although this why you're doing it, that has to be opened up a bit, because that can be a very broad field. But you have to know what you're doing, at least. Okay, now, in this next section of Allome Majlisi's passage that he's written in chapter 97, page 346 onwards, he enters these intentions to some degree. And I want to go through this here, and inshallah, in the next session, I'll open it even a bit more through the writings of Sayyid ibn Tawus, who is really one of the unique scholars of Islam throughout the centuries. Allama Majlisi writes, وَقَدْ يَدْخُلُ فِي نِيَّاتِ أَهْلِ السِّيَامِ أَخْتَارٌ, that there are these mental interferences again, which enter the intention of the faster in the month of Ramadan. And these mental interferences, some of them, بَعْضُهَا يُفْسِدُ حَالَ السِّيَامِ, some of these interferences ruins and make corrupts your fasting. And it won't be accepted at all. It won't even be accepted from a fiqhi point of view. وَبَعْضُهَا يَنْقُصُهُ أَنِ التَّمَامِ, some of these akhtar, these mental interferences in your intentions, they will make deficient your intentions and therefore make deficient your fasting. And here, deficiency from a true perfect fasting. So that means it's acceptable from a fiqhi point of view, but spirituality-wise, you're still lacking because of this this deficiency causing mental interference, which is preoccupying your heart. وَبَعْضُهَا يُدْنِيهِ مِنْ بَابِ الْقَبُولِ, and some of these interferences, they make you closer so that your actions be accepted at a high level. And you're getting closer to that. وَبَعْضُهَا يُكْمِلُ لَهُ الشَّرَفَ الْمَأْمُولِ, and some of these interferences are such that it perfects you. And it perfects you so that you acquire, you attain to that desired dignity, which is deserving for the spiritual people. Okay. وَهُمْ أَصْنَافٌ. Now, this can be categorized into different categories, and now he wants to go into these categories one by one. سِنْفٌ مِنْهُمْ الَّذِينَ يَقْصُدُونَ بِالصَّوْمِ طَلَبَ الثَّوَابِ. These people, that which they want in fasting is seeking the rewards. Now, maybe this is a good time to mention this, but I will mention it maybe one or two times in future sessions, that sometimes you do something for Allah, but you know that there are subsequent results to that, such as being rewarded. That's okay according to fiqh, because you're doing it for Allah. That's just the result which you're looking for, but it's a result. You're not doing it for the result. You're doing it for Allah. The reward isn't the cause for you fasting. Okay? So much so that even if there were no rewards, you would have fasted because you're fasting for Allah's sake. Now, they tell you there are rewards which come with it. That's okay. And even if that's, you know, a strong stimulator for you to go towards fasting, that's still okay. Because it's only a result. It's not the cause for you to fast. The cause is Allah. You're doing it for Allah's sake. That much is okay. from a fiqhi point of view. But imagine you see the reward as a cause to your fasting, or a part of the cause for you to fast. Juz'ul illa, according to the jurisprudence. The reward was part or partially a cause for you to go and fast. That would be problematic from a fiqhi point of view. Let me just give one example, then we'll come back to fasting again. Let's say I do the wudu, for example. And when I do the wudu, I do it for Allah's sake. I want to abide by Allah's command. But I know when I do the wudu with cool water, I know that it's going to cool down my body. I want my body to cool down. It's summer, for example. It's midday during the summer. I want to cool down a bit. I do the wudu for Allah, but the result is not, there may be immaterial spiritual rewards, but one of the results is a physical result. It cools down my body. But I'm doing it for Allah's sake. That's okay from a jurisprudential point of view. They say in fiqhi terms, this is taba'i. It's resultative in the sense that it comes after you doing the wudu for Allah's sake. It's an offshoot. But sometimes no. It's part of the cause for you to do the wudu. Juz'ul illa. The reason you're doing the wudu, the cause, is not for Allah's sake. You're doing it to cool down your body, i.e. it's an enhancing parameter, a cause that made you do the wudu. That won't be accepted. That's riya. When cooling down the body becomes the cause. What if you have two causes? One is you're doing for Allah's sake, and you're doing it to cool down your body. Here too, that's problematic, because cooling down your body is seen as the cause. So that if you didn't want, if there was no need to cool down your body, you wouldn't have ever committed yourself to the wudu. You see, because that's a cause for you to do the wudu. This rarely happens. Usually, it's the resultative offshoot effects which you see. You don't see cooling down your body as the cause for you to do wudu. Therefore, if it's doing it for Allah's sake, but the result is cooling down of your body, and you're looking at it not as a cause, but just as an offshoot and the after effect, that's okay. Now, in relation to spiritual rewards, heavenly rewards, there are some people that by fasting, all they're looking for is the spiritual reward. So the first question now that should come to your mind is this, that am I looking at this spiritual heavenly reward as part of the cause for me to fast, juz'ul illa, or am I seeing it as taba'i? Am I seeing it as just an after effect, a result of my fasting? If it's the first one, that's going to be problematic. If it's the second one, that's okay. That you're looking at the rewards as an after effect. It may not be the spiritually perfect level, but still, from a fiqhi point of view, it's okay. Now, how can you tell if it's not of the juz'ul illa type? How do you know whether you're not seeing the heavenly rewards as the cause or part of the cause for you to do the fasting in the beginning? And the answer is this: if there were no rewards, would you still have fasted? If you say no, that would be problematic. It means you, as a result of only the rewards, that the rewards you see as the cause for you to go and fast, not Allah. This is problematic. So what does he mean here? Allama Majlisi, in his next phrase, he he answers this ambiguity. And he says, so, وَيَقْصُدُونَ بِالصَّوْمِ طَلَبَ الثَّوَابِ. They intend by fasting, seeking rewards. That's what they are intending. وَلَوْلَاهُ مَا صَامُوا. And if there were no rewards, they wouldn't have fasted. This is those people who, as a result of those interferences preoccupying their heart, it yufsidu hal as-sawm, yufsidu hal as-siyam. It corrupts their fasting. It's not even accepted from a jurisprudential point of view. Now, some people may become obsessed here and say, well, we may be of this group. No. Because if, let's say, those rewards weren't there, you still would have done the fasting. You still would have obeyed Allah. The obeying of Allah would have still been there. Even if it was of a rudimentary nature, you would have done it because of Allah's command. And when you were doing it, if someone would say, what are you doing? You would say, I'm fasting. You see, it's subliminal in nature. You're doing it for Allah. But it is possible that there be people who they don't do it for Allah at all. It is theoretically possible, but they're a minority of people. And there's one group he touches upon in this regard, which inshallah we'll touch upon in this session. So, وَلَوْلَاهُ, if there were no rewards, مَا صَامُوا, they wouldn't have fasted. وَلَا أَمَلُوا بِهِ رَبَّ الْأَرْبَابِ, they wouldn't have transacted with the Lord of Lords, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this fasting. These people, now he wants to give an analogy. فَهَاُولَاءِ مَعَدُودُونَ مِنْ عَبِيدٍ سُوءٍ. These people are counted as bad slaves. Now here, some of the analogies he gives is in relation to the relationship between slaves and masters. Those days there were slaves and masters. And he gives this analogy in this context of slaves and masters. And it's a good analogy because when you want to compare it with us who are slaves of Allah, for example. These people are like bad slaves who الَّذِينَ أَعْرَضُوا أَمَّا سَبَغَ لَمَوْلَاهُمْ. Those slaves who turn away from that which their masters have previously provided for them, min al-in'ami alayhim, namely blessings and, you know, different blessings and favors their masters had given them. These slaves are turning away from those things that their masters had provided them with. Wa, and also turning away from, amma hadar min ihsanihi alayhim. They're also turning away from that which their masters are presently giving them, blessings-wise, favors-wise. They're turning away from all this. وَكَأَنَّهُمْ إِنَّمَا يَعْبُدُونَ الثَّوَابَ الْمَطْلُوبِ. These people, in reality, they are worshipping that sought for, that reward which was sought for. That is what they are worshipping. That which the master has provided before, they turn away from. That which the master is currently doing for them, they turn away from. These people, these slaves, they are listening to their master, but not because of the master, because of what they can get in reward for their actions now. Turning away from everything the master has done for them before, and now saying, what are we going to get now? So much so that if there was no reward, they wouldn't have even listened to the master. وَلَيْسُوا فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ عَابِدِينَ لِأَلَّا مِنْ غُيُوبٍ. These people, in reality, are not worshippers of the knower of the unseen, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ كَانَ الْعَقْلُ قَاضِيًا أَيَّبْذُلُوا ما يقدرون عليه من الوسائل حتى يسلهوا للخدمة لمالك النعم الجلائل. Whilst all this, whilst their intellects, their aql dictates that it's befitting to put into action all that is within their power so that one attains the competency to serve their master of grand blessings. This, you have to, your rationality tells you that this master of ours, Allah, the analogy is with the slave and the master, but in relation to me and you, Allah, with all the blessings he has given us in the past, right now, we have to not turn away from all those. And then with the fasting which we want to do and think of future rewards of what we want in the future. We shouldn't turn away from what Allah has given us up to now. And even our rational dimension, if we pontificate a bit deeper, we would see that our rationality would dictate to us that it's befitting to reach a level that we can reach a power of competency so that we can serve such a master who has given all these blessings up to now. Okay. Then another group. وَالسِّنْفٌ قَسَدُوا بِالصَّوْمِ السَّلَامَةَ مِنَ الْإِغَابِ. There are some who fast so that they can be free from punishment. That's why they're fasting. وَلَوْلَا التَّحْدِيدُ وَالْوَعِيدُ بِالنَّارِ وَأَحْوَالِ يَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ مَا صَامُوا. And if there were no threat of punishment, if there was no punishment in hell, if there was no threat of punishment of the fear of the day of accounting, if none of this was there, they wouldn't have fasted. These people, فَهَاُولَاءِ مِنْ لِعَامِ الْعَبِيدِ. They are the most wretched of slaves. He's giving the analogy again. حَيْثُ لَمْ يَنْقَادُوا بِالْكَرَامَةِ. They don't submit themselves to dignity. وَلَا رَعَوْا مَوَالِيَهُمْ أَهْلًا لِلْخِدْمَةِ. They don't even see their masters as worthy of serving. However, فَيَسْلُكُونَ مَعَهُ سُبُلَ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. They're steadfast in line with their master's orders. They go along with it, but they don't even see their masters as worthy. Why? Or the only reason they're doing it is because they fear the threat of punishment if they don't listen to their master. So much so, if there was no threat of punishment, they would have never listened. Yeah, this can get sometimes very delicate. Imam Khomeini, in one of his works, said, imagine Jibreel comes to you, in one of his speeches, I believe. If Jibreel, Archangel Gabriel, comes to you and said, heaven has been guaranteed to you. You don't have to fast or pray. It's been guaranteed. Here, would you have prayed? Would you have fasted? If you knew heaven was guaranteed, if you really think about these things, the answer most probably, I can only speak on behalf of myself, would be no, I wouldn't have. If you really go deep down. Now, does that make me fail in relation to the fiqh dimensions? No, because I'm still doing it for Allah. Right now, I'm doing it for Allah. Now, they tell me, but if you don't do it, we'll still give you heaven. I most probably wouldn't have done it because they're going to give me heaven anyway. But that shows I am spiritually disabled. This shows I am seriously, spiritually compromised. It's not compromised from a fiqhi point of view because Jibreel has told me you don't have to do it. And when I do it now, before Jibreel has come to me and guarantees heaven, when I do it now, I know that I'm doing it for Allah, even though 99.9% of my attention is for the rewards. One shouldn't confuse these two domains, otherwise you're going to be obsessed and that's going to cause problems. So, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا أَحْوَالَ عَذَابِ مَا وَقَفُوا عَلَى مُقَدَّسِ بَابِ. If they didn't know about the terror and fears of punishment that is there for them if they were to go against their masters, but if they didn't know about this punishment, they wouldn't have stayed or halted at the holy door of their master. فَكَأَنَّهُمْ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ عَابِدُونَ لِذَاتِهِمْ. In reality, these people are worshipping their own selves. They're worshipping their selves. لَيُخَلِّصُوهَا مِنْ خَتَرِ عُقُوبَاتِهِمْ. So that they free themselves from the danger of punishment. Now, what does this mean, that they are worshipping their own selves? Well, one is saying, in effect, that I don't want punishment. I obey the master in order to avoid punishment. And if there was no punishment, I wouldn't have even listened to the master. This shows you're submitting to your own self. You don't want the punishment to come your way. Whereas now listening to the master is something secondary. The main issue at hand is this avoiding of punishment. وَسِنْفُونَ صاموا خوفا من الكفارات وما يقتزيه الافطار من الغرامات. There's a group who fast out of fear in relation to the kafarat, paying expiation, paying the financial atonement for not fasting. They fast out of fear of that financial expiation. Or they fast because of what the nullifying causes to one's fasting, those nullifying causes, they each have a penalty assigned to them. And you are fasting out of fear of those penalties and you want to avoid those penalties. That's why you fast. وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ. And if there were no penalties or atonements, مَا رَعَوْ مَوْلَاهُمْ أَهْلًا لِلْتَاعَاتِ. Here, the slave would not see their master as worthy of listening to, or submitting to, or obeying. They wouldn't have obeyed their master if it wasn't for these penalties or punishments. وَلَا مَحَلًا لِلْعِبَادَاتِ. Now that master can be seen in the slave or master, but with Allah too. They don't see Allah as an area of exercising worship too. One doesn't see Allah worthy of worship. The only reason they worship Allah is because they fear the penalties that if they don't. فَهَاُولَاءِ مُتَعَرِّضُونَ لِرَدِّ سَوْمِهِمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمُفَارِقُونَ فِي ذَلِكَ مُرَادَ اللَّهِ وَمُرَادَ الْمُرْسَلِ إِلَيْهِمْ. These people, they assign themselves in a manner that they desire their fasting to return to themselves. Why? Because if they were not to fast, they would lose a financial amount of money. They want to keep that. So the benefiting of fasting is for their own selves. So they keep that money and they don't lose it. And they become separated as a result in relation to this fasting from that which Allah intended in fasting, or that which that he who Allah had sent, what he, the Holy Messenger, he who was sent to the people, what the Messenger had intended. They intended much more out of this fasting. And you're just merely doing it so you don't pay the kafara. وَسِنْفُونَ صَامُوا عَادَةً لَا عِبَادَةً. There are some who fast out of habit, not out of worship. They're not truly worshipping. They're doing it out of habit. Who are these people? Allah imagines he knows describing who these people are. وَهُمْ كَسَّاهِينَ فِي سَوْمِهِمْ أَمَّا يُرَادُ السَّوْمْ لِعَجْلِ. These people are people who are inadvertent from that which is the cause of the reason behind fasting. They're inadvertent in relation to that. In relation to the why we fast. What's the purpose of fasting? وَخَارِجُونَ عَنْ مُرَادِ مَوْلَاهُمْ. And they have exited that which their master has intended in relation to fasting. وَمُقَدَّسَ ذِلِّهِ. They've exited his holy shadow, Allah's holy shadow, which is at least the Sharia, the Tariqa, the do's and don'ts. They've exited it. Why has Allah assigned fasting? What are we to attain through fasting? They're totally inadvertent to it. Because it's just a habit for them. It's a habit. You see yourselves fasting for 40, 50, 60 years and you still don't know why. So much so that when someone now wants to give a spiritual explanation or demonstration of what fasting can do, you don't even understand what he or she is saying. And you may even then call them by, you know, ill names or attack them for the wrong reasons. فَحَالُهُمْ كَحَالِ السَّاهِي وَاللَّهِ وَالْمُؤْرِذِ عَنِ الْقَبُولِ وَالتَّنَاهِي. These people are like those who treat the fast with the do's and don'ts, the spiritual do's and don'ts of fasting, with futility. They treat it inadvertently, forgetting about it. And that's how they see it. With the next group of people, Allame writes that وَسِنْفٌ صَامُوا عَادَةً لَا عِبَادَةً وَهُمْ كَسَّاهِينَ فِي صَوْمِهِمْ. With the next group of people, they fast, but they fast out of worship, out of habit, not out of worship. The essence of worship has withered away over the years. It's now merely a habit. Now, what? There's nothing critically wrong with that, but what is the threatening issue at hand with those who only execute this ritual of fasting out of habit? He describes these people as وَهُمْ كَسَّاهِينَ فِي سَوْمِهِمْ أَمَّا يُرَادُ السَّوْمُ لِعَجْلِ. These people, in relation to their fasting, they're inadvertent. Inadvertent to what? They're inadvertent to that which was intended by fasting. That which fasting, the reason fasting was assigned. The reasons why fasting has been legislated. The why and the rationale behind fasting. The inner purpose and objective behind fasting. They're oblivious to it. They're inadvertent towards it. وَخَارِجُونَ عَنْ مُرَادِ مَوْلَاهُمْ وَمُقَدَّسِ ذِلِّهِ. And they've exited that which was intended by Allah, by their master, in this fasting. What did Allah intend? See, this is in relation to the spirit of fasting, the inner purpose of fasting. You may just suffice with avoiding 8 or 9 actions which were prohibited for you during the day. Okay, but what about the why behind fasting? The reasons behind fasting? The rationale behind fasting? What was Allah's inner purpose for legislating fasting for me and you? They are totally oblivious and they've exited that which Allah has intended, and They've exited Allah's holy shadow, so to speak. That spiritual jurisdiction which would have elevated their status were they to have not been inadvertent towards it. فَحَالُهُمْ So their status quo is such. كَحَالِ السَّاهِ وَاللَّهِ وَالْمُؤْرَضِ عَنِ الْقَبُولِ وَالتَّنَاهِ These people are like inadvertent, they're futile in relation to the fasting, inadvertent to the spiritual dimensions, futile in relation to the inner dimensions, just sufficing with the basics. And they turn away from their fasting being accepted. But being accepted how? By the context of the phrase here that Allama writes, it means they are turning away from the spiritual do's and don'ts. They turn away from it. They're oblivious towards the inner philosophies behind fasting. Allama then continues with another group. وَسِنْفٌ صَامُوا خَوْفًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَجَزَأً مِنْ الْعَارِ بِتَرْكِ الصِّيَامِ Then there's a different type of people now. And they fast out of fear from Muslims and out of agitation of being humiliated or disgraced because of their abandoning fasting. They say to themselves, if we don't fast, we're going to be disgraced by the people, by Muslims. So it's better to fast. We can't bear this agitation. They fear this scenario. Now, what are the reasons for them having such an intention of avoiding being embarrassed? Imma lishak, aw al-juhud, aw talab al-rahate fi khidmat al-ma'bud. Either they have some doubts in relation to the essence of fasting, and that's why they don't want to fast. They're not very keen on fasting. And if they do, it's only out of fear for what Muslims may do if they're caught not fasting, for example. So they have doubts. Or they even deny the rationale of fasting. They deny it altogether. But they fast so that people, you know, don't attack them, so they don't be disgraced. Or, for example, they just want to seek, you know, comfort. They want to avoid the pain and the hassle of people attacking them, so they just fast so that they don't be humiliated and just continue in comfort. فَهَاُولَاءِ These people, أَمْوَاتُ الْمَعْنَى وَأَحْيَاءُ السُّورَةِ These people, spiritually, they're dead. Phenotypically, they're alive, but they're dead spiritually. Because remember with riya, the point was when you don't do something with the intention of gaining proximity to Allah and you don't commit a particular ritual to abide by Allah's command, to obey Allah. No, rather you do it to show people that you're doing it. These people are dead spiritually. وَكَالسُّمِّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ دَاعِيَ صَاحِبِ النِّعَمِ الْكَثِيرَةِ They're like the deaf who don't hear the inviter towards the owner of abundant blessings. They don't listen to the Holy Messenger's commands. And these people will be spiritually deaf in the hereafter. وَكَالْأُمْيَانِ الَّذِينَ Or like the blind, who لَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّ نُفُوسَهُمْ بِيَدِ مَوْلَاهُمْ ذَلِيلَةً ma'suratan. Or they're like the blind who don't see that verily their souls are in Allah's hands, in a state of total captivity, in a state of total destitution. They're in Allah's hands. Allah is, so to speak, pulling the strings. وَقَدْ قَارَبُوا أَن يَكُونُوا كَالدَّوَابِ. And it's very close that these people are on a par with animals. بَلْ زَادُوا عَلَيْهَا. They may be even worse than animals. Why? لَأَنَّهَا. Because verily with animals, تَعْرِفُ مَنْ يَقُومُ بِمَصَالِحِهَا وَبِمَا تَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ. وَبِمَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ. Because with animals, at least, they know, they acknowledge that, you know, who is looking after their interests? Allah. They acknowledge that. At least with animals, they know who is catering for their needs. Whereas these people are deaf and blind. وَسِنْفُونَ. Allah continues, another group. صَامُوا لِأَجْلِ أَنَّهُمْ سَمِعُوا أن الصوم واجب في الشريعة المحمدية. There are some who fast because they've heard that fasting is obligatory according to the Muhammadan Sharia. فكان صومهم بمجرد هذه النية من غير معرفة بسبب الإيجاد. And that's why they fast. Merely their intention is because it's been deemed as wajib and has been legislated as wajib, they fast without any recognition or acknowledgement of the whys, the whats and the whys behind fasting. Why is fasting legislated? What is the purpose behind it? That doesn't concern them. All that matters is it's obligatory and therefore I'll do it. But there's hardly any ma'rifah and understanding and acknowledgement behind such an action. وَلَا مَا عَلَيْهِمْ لِلَّهِ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ مِنَ الْمِنَّةِ فِي تَعْرِيدِهِمْ لِسَعَادَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. And they don't know what favours Allah has granted over them and for them, and how Allah has made them susceptible and made them accessible to salvation here in this world and in the hereafter. فَلَا يُسْتَبْعَدُ أَن يَكُونُوا مُتَعَرِّضِينَ لِلْعِتَابِ. And these people have made themselves prone to being reproached. وَالسِّنْفٌ صَامُوا وَقَسَدُوا بِصَوْمِهِمْ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ كَمَا قَدَّمْنَاهُ لِأَنَّهُ أَحْلٌ لِلْعِبَادَةِ فَحَالُهُمْ حَالُ أَحْلِ السَّعَادَةِ. The last two or three groups Allama is now mentioning, there are those who fast and their intention and their incentives in this fasting is only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as has been mentioned in the proper manners before. Because these people see Allah as worthy of worship, and therefore befitting for them. They mustn't disclose ungratefulness. It's only since Allah is worthy of worship, and he's the sole entity who is worthy of worship, they express their gratitude. There's no other reason. It's only for this. And their status quo is the status of the people of salvation. And the last group Allama writes about, وَسِنْفٌ صَامُوا مُؤْتَقِدِينَ أَنَّ الْمِنَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فِي سِيَامِهِمْ. There's a group, these people, they fast, believing wholeheartedly that all favors, all blessings are Allah's. And the blessings they're recipients of, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also they are of firm belief that it is Allah who is making them steadfast in this journey of their fast. In their fasting, it's Allah who is making them steadfast. عَارِفِينَ بِمَا فِي طَاعَتِهِ مِنْ إِكْرَامِهِمْ وَبُلُوغِ مَرَامِهِمْ. And they know, meanwhile, they know that worshipping Allah, obeying Allah, is the cause for their acquiring dignity and reaching to their holy goals and objectives. فَهَاُولَاءِ, these people are أَهْلُ الزَّفَرِ بِكَمَالِ الْإِنَايَاتِ وَجَلَالِ السَّعَادَاتِ. These people are the people of victory. Victory with respect to what? In being gracefully and graciously attentive, receiving Allah's attentiveness, receiving Allah's grace in a perfect manner, and the grandeur of salvation being given to them. These are the people of victory. And here Allama ends the passage of the classification of different fasters. So here we have to evaluate ourselves and see in which group do we belong to, and try to erase all forms of contamination, especially that of riya. Inshallah, this connection and relationship between riya and fasting is deeper than one may consider. And inshallah, we'll speak about this in future sessions. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin.